All right, let me move on into my opening monologue, the Right Side Way monologue. I remind you guys that every single day, attorney Stan McDonald is the sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee up in Huntsville, 30-year veteran in the practice of law, and I'll tell you more about him here in just a minute. All right, let me just say, starting my monologue off, I got to tell you, I have lived a full life, and I know it. A crazy life sometimes, but a full life. I've had more adventures, man. Maybe one day I'll write a book, but there are some things that I experienced that I look at in terms of the things that are in the news today, and I'm thinking, why did I have to go through that if nobody else does now? Let me tell you what I'm talking about. So I found myself thinking, if they just treat our money like they knew it was our money, you know what I mean? Sometimes it's painfully obvious that politicians have totally forgotten that they are not dealing with their money. Politicians and bureaucrats, I guess, really. They're not even dealing with the government's money. They're working with our money. If they would only give the same care, concern, and demand for accountability that they would to their own personal bank accounts, then I guarantee you it'd be a different fiscal world in which we all live. But we're finding out more and more that they too often don't. They see numbers on a page. Meh, it's just money. So a story broke last night that I believe is going to send shockwaves through the government. Somebody may go to jail. Former Congressman Lee Zeldin, he made a breakout announcement that in his new capacity as the head of the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, that he immediately wanted to know more about a viral video that surfaced last month. You may have seen it. The video was of a Biden EPA political appointee talking smack about how they were tossing gold bars off the Titanic, he said. Tossing gold bars off the Titanic. Rushing to get billions of your tax dollars out the door, basically, before Inauguration Day. Folks, those gold bars were your hard-earned tax dollars, and tossing them off the Titanic meant that the Biden administration knew they were wasting it. What Zeldin just announced is staggering. He has now discovered that over $20 billion, $20 billion with a B, $20 billion of EPA funds were cashed out and sent to an independent bank so that after Biden left office, his Green New Steel programs could continue to get funded. They didn't have the ability to write the check specifically while he still had the administration, so they just did a mass deposit into the bank to get the money out of the Trump administration's hands so they could fund some of their pet projects through charitable organizations that support the Biden agenda later on. Basically, they created the $20 billion slush fund. Meh, it's just money, they said. Zeldin is working right now trying to claw it back, and he needs heads to roll. I mean, I can't imagine somebody not going to jail for this. But lest we think for a second that it's just liberal causes, let me tell you, no, there's some real activity going on in the new Trump administration. They're even asking for bipartisan belt tightening. A special organization founded by the Reagan administration and known as the National Endowment for Democracy. The NED. The NED is supposedly an independent nonprofit dedicated to bolstering democratic institutions worldwide. Gives out thousands of grants annually for non-governmental initiatives across more than 100 countries. And yes, it's primarily funded with U.S. tax dollars. And the neocons in D.C. are clutching their pearls as Trump puts a spending freeze in place, putting a hold on tens of millions of dollars to the NED. Never mind that the NED has also been accused in recent years of becoming just another liberal slush fund like USAID did. But you know, meh, it's just money. Look, those are tax dollars. And I know that running government costs money. I've been in that position, sure, as a state politician, working on appropriations and passing state budgets. But it was still billions of dollars. At one point, I was the vice chair for the General Fund Budget Committee for Alabama. Later, I became the chairman of one of the largest committees in the state Senate, called the Committee for Fiscal Responsibility and Economic Development. But the place where I really found myself sweating bullets over somebody else's money was in Baghdad. In 2004, I was attached to an infantry battalion in central Baghdad. And as part of my duties, in the middle of all of our combat operations and getting mortared and dodging IEDs and all of that, I was also the pay agent on numerous rebuilding and governance projects in our area. Basically, in an effort to help rebuild war-damaged infrastructure and utility and facilities, mostly to help overcome decades of Saddam's neglect. So the international communities were pouring tons of cash into Iraq to help stabilize and regenerate it, and me personally, I oversaw millions of dollars worth of projects just in my area of operations alone. But here's the difference. Here's the difference between me and the knuckleheads who create slush funds in D.C. Me personally, I had to sign for every single penny, and if 1 cent was missing, you know who was on the hook to repay it. I mean, no pressure, right? Look, I actually had a safe in my hooch on the fob. It was a good-sized safe, about like a small refrigerator. I kept it covered with an old camouflage poncho liner, and I put stuff on top of it to make it look like it was some kind of makeshift table. Only two people had the key, myself and the battalion XO. At one point, I had over $750,000 in cold hard cash in that dang safe at the foot of my cot, right there in the middle of patrol base volunteer. And drawing the funds, that was an adventure in itself. It was an hour or more to get over to Division Main at Liberty, to Camp Victory, I mean, to the finance office. And my team would have to suit up and load up our up-armored Humvees, gather up our security detail with additional four gun trucks, basically the equivalent of a platoon-sized element of Joe's locked and loaded. And I always carried this black bag. Put the money in it, right? One of our first such forays, I told the convoy security that, listen, if something happens to me, make dang sure somebody gets the black bag. I found out later on that the black bag became kind of infamous. It had a mystique. The guys in the detail would always speculate what I had in the black bag. Man, let me tell you, I'd go in there to draw those funds. It was a nerve-wracking experience. Hey, sir, Major Williams, I'm here to draw funds for Rasafa District projects. Yes, sir. How much was it this time? I'm approved for $227,000. Okay. At which point the guy would go in the vault and come out carrying bricks. I mean, like actual bricks of cash. I assume you want to count it all? Yeah. Okay, these bundles are straight from the U.S. Mint. These are unbroken. They still bear the seal of the Mint intact. Each of these bricks is certified to contain $10,000. In my mind, I'm having a fit. But I just go, roger that. And then he shows me one that had a broken seal. Yeah, we ought to count this one, I guess. You think? So he drops a thick 5-inch stack of $100 bills in a counting machine, and it speeds through it in seconds with a digital readout telling me the amount. And I just looked at him and said, do it again, please. And I asked, and he did, and then I asked him to do it a third time. And then he gave me the forms. He had me sign for every last dime personally, under penalty of personal guarantee that I would be compelled to repay any unaccounted for funds. And then we get back to the fob with my bag full of money, the infamous black bag. I go straight to my hooch. I call one of my best men on the Motorola radios we carried, and I just use his nickname. I said, hey, Jokers, Chappie, it's time. Meet me down at the hooch. And he knew it, and he hated it. Oh, God, he'd say, roger, sir. And he and I would recount every bill, label the stacks, seal them in envelopes, lock them in the safe. It was like we were handling nuclear launch codes for SAC-NORAD. Every project got paid, though. Every project got photographed and double receipted. To this very day, y'all, I still have all the paperwork showing that I cleared finance without losing a penny. And that was 20 years ago. I tell you all of that partly for entertainment, but also, really, partly because the therapeutic value of talking it out is good for me. But the point is, too, I knew it wasn't my money. I also knew that I had to fully and completely account for it if anything went missing. And I knew there were some serious repercussions if I didn't get it right. Wouldn't it be something if politicians and bureaucrats handled our tax dollars that way? What if they were to have the same sense of dread and responsibility and personal ownership over the expenditure of our tax dollars that was entrusted to them? I mean, wow, it'd be a game changer, right? Budget processes would be hyper-focused on accountability and balancing the budgets. Earmarks would become the equivalent of the black bag with designated funds being fully accounted for. And I know it's a bit of a fantasy to talk about it that way, I know. But accountability and a sense of ownership, those are not too much to ask. We literally entrust elected officials to appropriate funds that we send them. Is it really too much for us to ask that they should feel a great burden of responsibility? Apparently, the U.S. government is willing to take a lowly Army major like me when I was in Baghdad and put me on the hook for each and every red cent and threaten my career with destruction if I didn't turn it all in. And I can tell you, that's both a burden and it was also a source of pride when I got it done right. And we need some of that in city halls, state houses, and certainly in the U.S. Capitol. But too often, they just see the numbers on paper and they go, meh, it's just money. And they spend it how they want and they create slush funds. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.